Hello and welcome to another Newsmakers podcast. Today we are in Livonia, Michigan at the Michigan ACA meeting, and I'm sitting down here with Charlie McCrudden, Senior Vice President of Government Relations for ACA. Did I get that right?
You did.
Thank you. So I just listened to your presentation here to members of ACA in Michigan, and you brought up a lot of really interesting issues that are affecting people both regionally and nationally, and one of them is the R-22 phase out. So can you kind of go over where that's at?
Yeah, so as everybody knows, who's been paying attention, we are about to get to 2015 when the last allocation phase out goes into place. We know where we are in 2014 with the allocation. We know where the allocation is going to be in 2020. It's going to be at zero. We just don't know what the glide path for 2015, 16, 17, 18, and 19 is going to look like. The EPA, at the end of 2014, released a proposal that included several options of what that glide path would look like. They took comments until March 10th, 2014. They will review those comments and likely finalize an allocation late summer, early fall.
Okay, so in your presentation that you just gave a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. You had a lot of interesting slides up there.
Yes.
And there was one of them that showed all of the different options from, you know, the nice 5-year step down, yep. which is the EPA's preferred method, and then an estimation approach, which was really crazy, and then, of course, the zero allocation. Can
yes.
you kind of tell us who's pushing for what and what you think is going to happen?
Yeah, so the EPA would like, I think, to do a 5-year drawdown, a straight line drawdown that drops the allocation year by year by the same amount, so that I think in 2015 it would be approximately 14 or 15,000 metric tons, so that by zero it'd be by 2020 the allocation would be zero. There's a lot of certainty in that because we sort of know how it looks. Now, there's two alternates to that 5-year drawdown. One would have an overall fewer allocated a lower allocation over that 5-year term. Another alternative would have a higher allocation, but again, the preferred is a linear drawdown that would be approximately 41,000 metric tons over the 5 years. There is a 3-year drawdown that they're looking at, and the benefit here would be that there'd be a lower allocation over the time. It'd be about 25,000 metric tons over the 3 years. The difference there, though, is that the phase out would be complete in 2018 instead of 2020. That may be a little bit of a shock to the market to sort of leave on the table 2 full years of allocation. You mentioned the estimation approach, and that is sort of a model-based allocation where initially the amount of 22 would be increased, and then it would draw down steeply. This is based on the expectations of servicing over time, but again, this is not one that EPA has preferred. Another drawback to this is it would essentially allow for 76,000 metric tons of R-22 over the 5-year period. That's almost double the preferred amount. And then finally, what has been sort of suggested to EPA is what's known as the zero allocation, and this is where the EPA would not allocate any R-22 in 2015 through 2020, and in a sense, shutting down the production 5 years early. This is a proposal that I think some of the environmentalists would like to see, and I think that the reclaimer community is also pushing for this. Their concern is that there's already too many stockpiled metric tons of R-22 out there. The only way we're going to sort of get this phase out moving more quickly and increase the value of R-22 is to actually have a zero allocation. My concern with a zero allocation, though, is that it would be a severe shock to the market, and we would see some of the speculation and some of the rumors and some of the price spikes that we saw in January 2012 and January 2013.
Yeah, and I know that the price spikes were a big issue for contractors and for distributors.
Yep.
And I don't think anyone wants to, you know, the contractors, of course, don't want to see that again.
No.
So is the linear approach preferred by the EPA? Is that what you think is best for contractors?
Yeah, I think the linear approach is best because there's certainty built into it. Everybody knows everybody is going to know what the allocation is no matter which line they choose. But if you look at how the EPA has talked about the phase out, the phase down, and then the phase out, the term smooth transition comes up over and over and over again. A linear drawdown over 5 years, I think, is the smoothest transition and helps the industry transition away from the allocations of version R22 to after 2020, if you need R22, it either comes from stockpiled inventory manufactured before 2020 or reclaimed. And I think the reclaimers want to see a greater emphasis on reclamation, because when we see a higher value of R22 with a lower supply, then we see more of it coming back and less of it being emitted. And that environmentally is beneficial.
Okay. So in your experience going around speaking to contractors, are most aware of what's going on?
I would say those that are members of ACCA are aware of it, because we've been talking about this. Most that read your publication and other publications are aware of it because, we're all talking about it. But to tell you the truth, I have an idea that there's a lot of contractors out there who are so focused on their businesses and maybe they're not looking at external issues. If you look at a recent survey of contractors talking about the changes to the energy efficiency standards, it was sort of found that 80% of contractors were either unaware or unprepared for new regional energy efficiency standards for central air conditioners or potentially furnaces. I think there's a fair number of contractors out there who don't pay attention or don't know how to pay attention, and I'll put a plug in for ACCA here, but that's why you join an association, because we do some of this legwork for you. We provide you with this information so that you have a better understanding of what the marketplace is looking like and you can prepare for what's coming down the pike.
So now, what do contractors need to know right now about where the process is? They're not taking comments anymore.
No, the comment period closed on March 10th. But contractors need to be sort of watching to see what EPA comes out with later this year. There are still meetings going on, and I think EPA is still looking for reactions from contractors, or at least from all stakeholders. And I don't think they would deliberately ignore new comments that came in. So that's sort of the process there. I would also say that because this is a controversial rulemaking, I am afraid to say I think there may be a legal challenge to this rule when it's finalized. I think, depending on which way it goes, this is a situation where the EPA is not going to be able to satisfy everybody's interests. And so I would not be surprised if one group or one set of stakeholders elects to challenge this in court. I don't think it would affect the rule once it's done. It could, though, force it to be reopened. And this is what happened in 2011 when there was a lawsuit about the allocation. The EPA lost that lawsuit, and that's why they reopened the rule, and that's why we saw the spikes in 2012 and 2013.
Mm. So contractors need to be paying pretty close attention.
This is an industry we flew under the radar for a long time. We really didn't have to worry about a lot of stuff coming out of Washington, but that has completely changed, whether it's DOE with efficiency standards and regional standards and now enforcement of regional standards, whether it's EPA with changing, with the R22 allocation or potentially moving away from HFCs, allowing propane refrigerants. You can look at the National Labor Relations Board, the Department of Labor. This industry can no longer ignore what's happening in Washington because it does affect their bottom lines.
So my other question that was actually going to be about HFCs being the next big thing to be phased out. The Montreal Protocol already has said, this is something that, because of the global warming potential, we want to get rid of these. And I think you said by 2050?
So right now the Montreal Protocol only applies to HCFCs. Now, but there are certain aspects of the rules that apply to R22 HCFCs that do apply to other refrigerants, meaning HFCs. It's illegal to vent HFCs. However, essentially anyone can buy them. You don't need a 608 certificate or card to purchase them. One of the things that if EPA, and they are looking at modifying the Montreal Protocol to include HFCs, is that they would require that technicians to purchase and handle and use HFCs in the same way they would HCFCs. HFCs are part of that basket of gases that are intended for phase out in response to global warming and climate change. Now, it doesn't matter what you think about climate change, whether it's man-made or not. The policymakers think that it is, and so they are affecting and changing policy to implement them. So you have to be responsive to that and understand. Now, we don't know what the next generation of refrigerants looks like yet. Is it ammonia? Is it propane-based? Is it CO2? I mean, we just haven't, sort of, the industry hasn't figured out what it's going to be yet. But we are looking to be, it looks like we're starting to phase those out over time. A phase out would take probably about 30 years, and I think intentionally the phase out would become a phase down. A phase down would become a phase out by 2050.
Okay, so lots of stuff to keep track of.
Lots of stuff to keep
track
of.
I'm going to go ahead and plug ACCA here. Can you kind of tell our listeners, if they're not ACCA members, how do they become ACCA members?
Certainly, you can go to our website, and there's a tab there for contractors. Or if you scroll down a little bit from the main site, you can see information about how to become a member. I believe that the only reason you join an association is for what comes out of Washington. It's no secret that most trade associations are based in D.C. Why is that? It's because they're following what's happening in Washington. These are things that affect your bottom line. But we can also help chapters and states and individuals in states where things are going on, because there's regulations coming out of state capitals and county commissioners. I mean, I can tell you, for example, there was a local issue to me in Maryland where contractors were being prohibited from parking their vehicles on the street because in some locations there were lots of pickup trucks parked in streets at night. And the unintended consequence of banning this practice was contractors were getting tickets on job sites. And so the response had to be to go to the county commissioners and explain to them why this unintended consequence was hurting them and to resolve this. And they did finally come to a resolution. These are the kind of problems that we're seeing more and more, and these are the kind of things that we can help contractors with.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. This was a good trip up to a chapter. It was a great meeting, and hope that they got a good presentation out of it.
Well, I sure did.
Good.
Right. Well, thank you for listening to our Newsmakers podcast. If you want more news and information, please visit www.achrnews.com.